Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And with me today is a guest that you know well already. It's my good friend, sister in Christ, Doreen Virtue. Welcome back, sister.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's great to have you. Can you just catch us up on what's been happening in your life, marriage, ministry, and what ministry projects you've been working on?
Absolutely. Well, Michael and I are both very busy with work. Michael got a promotion, praise the Lord, and I've got this part-time job that helps to pay the bills that is a job I can do at home. So thank you, Lord, for that provision. And I've been doing lots of videos, including videos with you, mostly discernment videos. And it is my prayer to turn some of these videos into free booklets for Amazon Kindle, even though I don't use Amazon anymore. I'm boycotting them because of their stance on abortion. But nonetheless, people go on Amazon, and unfortunately, some of my old products are still on there that other people are selling. So my prayer is to make free Kindle booklets available that are transcripts of these videos. So I'd appreciate people praying about that because I have to figure out the logistics of how to do that.
We'll definitely be praying for you and with you both, and as you guys do all that you guys are doing. I know Sarah and I just appreciate all that you guys do. So
thank you. Michael and I love you and Sarah too. And I'm so glad she's on your program.
Yeah, me too. She comes on. She actually in her office now. She's got my old microphone and things. So next time she comes on here soon, I'm not sure when, but you know, people will be able to see that. So
nice.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us about the Enneagram conference? The title of it is the Enneagram. What's true? What's false? Does it matter? You put on by Midwestern Outreach and In Grace. It's produced by American Gospel. Anything that we should know about it?
Absolutely. Well, this is an Enneagram exposed conference. Some people have misunderstood and thought that we were promoting the Enneagram. Absolutely not. This is a conference to really break down what the issues are and why no Christian should have anything to do with the Enneagram. And so each of the speakers have a different topic. I will be talking about how the 9 Enneatypes were conceived and invented by a shaman and psychiatrist named Claudia Naranjo, who got the information, and he openly admits this, through automatic writing. And that's a form of divination, trans-channeling, it's even mediumship. And in this conference, I'll be talking about how Naranjo is a big fan of channeling spirits, and he doesn't even care if they're demons. He openly admits that. So these 9 Enneatypes, with my background, I have a BA and MA in counseling psychology from Chapman University, and I was a practicing psychotherapist years ago, and I was involved with personality tests, legitimate ones, like the Stanford-Binet and the MMPI, and how the Enneagram, just like the Myers-Briggs, which I have a video on, both of those came out of the occult. And while people are craving validation and wanting to know about themselves, they want, you know, who am I? They want all these questions answered, the existential questions. It's normal, part of human behavior. But we should not be focused on getting those answers from the Enneagram. And then I get pushback, Dave, from people who say, yes, but it helped me and it was accurate. So how could it be bad? It helped my marriage, so it must be from God. Well, we have to remember that the devil is a master at mixing in truth and lies. He's also the counterfeiter. And we see that in Pharaoh's court when the sorcerers are mimicking God's miracles that are coming through Moses and Aaron. And they can mimic to a point God's miracles. So just because something seems to work does not mean it's from God, and especially if it violates God's commandments. And the Enneagram violates the commandment against mediumship, Deuteronomy 18, and divination, again, Deuteronomy 18. And so it's opening a doorway to demons to get involved with this so-called personality test, which is so basic. If you look at the questions, it's like those hokey, what are your spiritual gifts tests, you know, where you can gear the answers in a way that you want. So let's just say that you're a cessationist and you don't like speaking in tongues. So every question that comes up on this so-called spiritual gift test where it asks about tongues, you just say no. And so, surprise, spiritual gifts are not speaking in tongues because you geared it that way. The Enneagram is the same thing, that you'll gear it toward your ideal self, and it's self-fulfilling, and it's very narcissistic. It's very much a me-centered false gospel. Instead of putting our eyes on the cross, what Jesus did for us and all the sins that we've all committed, that he took the wrath for those sins and he imputed his righteousness to us. The Enneagram puts us on as the center of this false gospel. And anything that takes our eyes off the cross, we get into trouble with.
Yeah, that's really, really good. You know, I think that one of the things that I appreciate about this conference is, you know, Justin Peters is going to speak about trading sola scriptura for prima scriptura. Doug Gruthus is a well-known apologist. People may not be familiar with him. You know, of course, we have you speaking that you mentioned about, and
Marcia Montenegro.
Marcia Montenegro, yeah.
Who she almost single-handedly was the first watch person on the tower, watch person on the wall, to sound the alarm about the Enneagram way back when it was just starting to be introduced to the church. It's a New Age tool. It started at Esalen and the out in Chile at this kind of New Age center. But people like Richard Rohr, who uses Christian lingo but is not Orthodox, in fact, he's a heretic, and Susan Saville, and some of the Christian publishers who seem to have no discernment, have published books on the Enneagram, and then people have introduced it into churches, and it's really a Trojan horse for bringing in false teachers. So then people at the church think, well, this must be safe because my pastor's wife is teaching it. And then they get introduced to Richard Rohr and his theology, as you've studied that too, where he just turns the gospel on its ear and inside out and talks about the universal Christ, that all of us are already saved. And there's no talk about you need repentance and Jesus didn't need to die on the cross under his theology. So it's not only Enneagram tests, but it's the tentacles of the false teachers that are attached to it that we're very concerned about.
Yeah, you brought up a really good point about publishing, that, you know, that's kind of the world I have lived in and, you know, camped in since really 2009. For those who don't know, I don't know if you know this, I have over 300 published reviews. I've done over 400 interviews since, you know, I started this podcast in 2015. And, you know, you go look at the top books every year, and it disgusts me. That's how I'll say it, about the type of books that, you know, the Zondervans, the Thomas Nelsons,
IVP,
the IVP, the Waterbrook Multnomah, especially those ones. And you look at it, and you have to ask yourself, you're a Christian? This is supposed a Christian publisher publishing things, not just on the Enneagram, but publishing prosperity gospel, publishing, you know, want to be careful. Zondervan does publish Posse, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. They publish some good things.
Yeah, it's like Baker. Thomas Nelson, you know, they approached me to do my testimony book, discern my testimony book, Deceive No More. And in that book, I talked about Jesus' calling, which I consider to be up there with some of the top deception going into the church. And Thomas Nelson published Jesus' Calling, and they change it every year so that it flies under the, you know, the wire of not being detected that it's false, which it is. So but it's interesting that Thomas Nelson let me do discernment about a Thomas Nelson book. in my book from them. So, yeah, I mean, publishing is a business, and they're bottom line oriented, and they don't have theologians on staff. I was blessed when writing for Thomas Nelson that my editor was the daughter of a solid Baptist pastor. And so she'd grown up under solid Baptist theology. And so she and I got along really well since I'm a Baptist and as I was writing this. But yeah, there was a time when I put up a discernment video about the Enneagram, and it had just a little picture of an IVP book, and they slapped me with a copyright. And then they later backed down and said, sorry, we shouldn't have done that. But they're publishing these pseudo-Christian books, which are more dangerous than New Age books because people drop their guard in the church. And this is why we're putting this conference on, because there's so many pro-Enneagram conferences online, and they twist it. And some of them will even do a bait and switch. They'll say, what's wrong with the Enneagram? And you watch this thing, and they'll start to say, well, here's what our critics say, here's what our critics said, and this is why our critics are wrong. And then they'll say, well, you know, it helps you, so it's got to be from God. And that's just the old argument I keep getting from people who want to try to justify blending New Age with Christianity. And they say, well, my horoscope comforts me. Or you're going on yoga mats and saying namaste, which is blasphemy, it comforts me. Or the Enneagram helps my marriage, and tarot cards help me to know the future. No, it doesn't work like that. We don't get to pick and choose these sins, and Christian freedom and liberty do not give us the right to break God's commandments. These are still sins. People also try to put the name Christian on top of these practices. So they'll call it the Christian Enneagram or the Gospel Enneagram, or I've seen the Holy Enneagram. And that's like trying to take the Ouija board and put Bible verses on the Ouija board and call it a Christian Ouija board. I mean, that's laughable. And so is it to call it a Christian Enneagram. It's an oxymoron. The Enneagram is New Age pagan occult. There's no way to redeem it. It's not like the people want to say, well, it's like the meat. You know, Paul said that it's okay to eat the meat. He said that the pagan temples were still pagan, though. And that's the analogy to the Enneagram, is the pagan temples, not the meat. And besides that, Paul did say that he would never eat the meat if it would cause a brother to stumble. And using the Enneagram can cause brothers and sisters to stumble into these false teachings.
Yeah, it's really good. I just remember, you know, it's all about how I feel, right? It's mm-hmm. so I feel this is right, and so it must be right. It's like, wait a minute. I feel it's right, so therefore I do what's right. And it's like, wait a minute, that's totally backwards. We have truth that's supposed to inform what we do in a biblical worldview, not how I feel about whatever, which is what I see in the top list of Christian books. I see just nothing but fluff, mm-hmm. which is why on this podcast I'm so careful about, you know, not only who I have on, but that the book is actually good, because, you know, there's lots of books out there, and there's lots of things like the Enneagram and yoga and other things that are impacting the church that, you know, very few people want to talk about today. They just don't want to talk about it. And then if you ask them, well, why do you think that? It's like, you know, like Miss Montenegro, she was, you know, on that program with Unbelievable, with Justin Brightley, and Todd Wilson is the president of the Center for the Pastor Theologians. And you would think that somebody that is the head of the Center for the Pastor Theologians would have a little bit more discernment with his PhD and years of pastoral experience to not be swept up in something that is, like you said, demonic. It's totally...
It is. It's the doctrine of demons, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, I mean, what did Jesus say about Satan? That he's the father of lies. And he's also the author of confusion. And there's a lot of people confused because, like you said, they are following their feelings. And Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful. But you, I think when you're younger, you kind of try that out, because the world keeps screaming, follow your heart, believe in yourself, follow your dreams, you know, trust yourself, believe in yourself. And so if we're not careful, and we, you know, the Bible tells us be not conformed to the world, but if we're not careful, we get conformed to the world, and then pretty soon we're just in that sea of chasing after worldly dreams, aren't we?
Yep, that's so true. You know, one of my, it's not even just that, you know, that the Enneagram is an issue, but we're seeing that it is, that many professing Christians in even what I would say solid churches are becoming enamored with this idea that, well, just, it's just an innocent, you know, like you're saying, it's just an innocent personality test. There's just a few questions. So if I answer these questions, it'll be okay. Cause after all, they're just questions. And so why should I even, you know, care about these things? So why should we not engage in the, you know, the Enneagram?
Yeah. Well, that's what a lot of people are trying to argue. And you know, it's just, Jesus said a little leaven can ruin the whole lump. And the Enneagram is leaven. It is something that will lead us astray and point us away from Jesus on the cross.
Yeah. I think the concerning thing to me is, and I know that people who watch this podcast, they appreciate when I do say something like I'm about to say, and they're probably like, can you say it again, please? So, but the thing is, we're not in Colossians 2:8, we're not to be held captive, Paul says, by worldly philosophy. Any philosophy outside of the Bible. We're supposed to be captivated by what is in the Bible, because it's the only thing that's true. And the only thing that's, you know, we talk in the church today about what's relevant and hip, and certainly in certain sectors, this is hip and relevant. But the Bible, we need to understand, is not only relevant, but it's also sufficient. And so if we focus only on the relevance of the Bible and neglect the sufficiency of the Bible, we're also undermining the truthfulness of the Bible, you know, how it's reliable and without error, not the possibility of error, and clear. And I think that's what I would say is, if you think that just a personality test is good for you, and so that you should take it, and you know that the questions and the answers will lead you to God, I would say, I think you need to go talk to your pastor. And if your pastor doesn't tell you that, you know, that you should mark and avoid that and never do it again, you should run away from that pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Run away. Don't even run away from the pastor. I would go to another pastor immediately at that church and say, you know what, I was really concerned about this. And so-and-so pastor just told me not, I met with him to talk about this. And, because this kind of thing, it's not okay. It's not okay to be held captive. We are, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us to hold all, to test all things, to hold fast to what is good. What is good is in the Bible. And so if you're a pastor supporting the Enneagram, I would just plead with you to repent, please. Get some knowledge and understanding of this, and equip your people. Send them to this conference. Send them to this, you know, this time, to watch this, refer to it. I'm going to be doing that again and again for people. I want to get this in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it does matter. It is a huge issue. Like the reason that I even, you know, I work with all the publishers. So I also need to say something about that. I think, just to clarify, I am not against, I think that there are things that Thomas Nelson and Zondervan and some of the other publishers do publish good material. So when I critique the majority of what they publish, it isn't just because out of a desire to be malicious. It's actually, or to get you into score points, and everyone's like, more of that, please. More of that, please. It's actually the opposite. It's because it bothers me that people are being spoon-fed that stuff that actually isn't going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And a concern broadly of Christian publishing that I have about this is that we should be publishing material that uplifts and encourages people in Ephesians 4:29 way. And when a publisher isn't willing to do that, I think they should shut their doors.
Yeah.
That would be what I would say. And I know that's a strong thing to say, but, you know, it's a ministry to publish books. And the church has a long and proud tradition of that. And so, I mean, as we talk about this, this is just one example of where publishers are failing to guard, the trust, their stewardship. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway.
Yeah, people assume because it says the genre is Christian and this person's holding a Bible that it's something trustworthy. And that's where all of us have to be in the Word and comparing everything to Scripture. And not just assuming that because Joel Osteen is popular, Joyce Meyer or Beth Moore, that what they're teaching is biblical. It's not. They're teaching the same as the Enneagram, which is you are the center. It's all about you. It's all about me and you and about getting our wishes granted. And that's not the gospel. The gospel is our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is sinless, came to earth fully God and fully man. He was the only one qualified to take the wrath that we all deserve for the sins we've all done. And Jesus died on the cross, terrible, excruciating, painful death, to take the wrath that we deserved and to impute his righteousness to us. And that's huge. And we're saved by God's grace and mercy through our faith in Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross and he went to 3 days later, he was raised. And then he was ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, and he will return to judge us all. And those of us who are in Christ, he'll see, God will see Christ. God will see our Christ's sinlessness. He won't see our sins. But if people are not in Christ, they will be cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's how important this all is. If people don't know the real gospel, how will they be saved? And how will they be saved unless people say it, how the messengers bring the good news to them? So this is a salvific issue, getting involved in false teachings. And it can start with the Enneagram. Most false teachings start with something that seems innocent, like going to an energy healer or having angel card readings or using crystals or using oils as idolatry. It seems so innocent and it seems like, oh, this will give me something good. So God must approve. And then you just get on that path of false teachings and you just keep going down, 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 darker and darker and darker. And I can't tell you how many people, Dave, have told me that they don't even know how they got involved with satanic worship and witchcraft, but they know it started with them getting involved first with something that seemed innocent. And then they just wanted more and more and more and more. It was insatiable appetite for things that are not godly. So this is really important to stay away from the Enneagram and similar false teachings.
Really good. Really good. And our concern out of all this is for the truth, you know, as you just said, out of the truth of God's word, which, you know, we've been given new hearts with a new nature. And so the great commandment applies to love the Lord your God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. And so it's because of that understanding then that we would want to speak out about false teaching and false teachers, not to point to ourselves, but like you said, to point to the truth and say, hey, actually, you're going this way, and the Bible is going this way, which, like the psalmist present in Psalm 1, there's a way for the righteous, and there's a way for the scoffer. That's known as the two ways. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to go the way of the scoffer, or are you going to go the way of the righteous? Are you going to walk the righteous path, which the psalmist describes as blessed? Or are you going to go the way of the scoffer? And that's a choice. Even Jesus uses this in Matthew 7, presents that those two ways. There's a way that seems right to man, and which way are you going to go? Are you going to go the right way, the way of righteousness, or are you going to go the way of unrighteousness? It's a choice that's why we have to talk about these things. It not only matters, I think, the way that we do talk about them, but also matters, I think, how we talk about them. And that's one of the things I appreciate about you. I know that you're very concerned about not just giving people the truth, but, you know, giving it to them in love so that they not only see the error, but also can receive it in, you know, a way that they understand. And that's how the Bible never pits the two against each other, never pits the message and the presentation against each other. It's actually both. And so I just wanted to say that to encourage you.
Thank
but also,
you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, same with you, brother.
Thanks.
And, I mean, this is just, I'm horrified to see these Trojan horses going into the church like this and being welcomed into the church because, you know, if you look at the proponents of Satanism, which is extreme, I never got involved in that, but I've looked at like Anton LaVey and such and Aleister Crowley. What they taught, if you could summarize Satanism, what they taught was do what you want. That's the main commandment of Satanism is do what you want. And so you can see that underpinning, follow your heart. Don't worry about what God says. That's the serpent in the garden. You know, God didn't really mean that. Genesis 3. And so the Enneagram just seems to appeal to that part of us who wants to have ourselves on the throne instead of Jesus on the throne.
Yeah, that's right. Guys, there's a lot that's good that's going to be covered in this conference. You know, Justin Pierce talking about sola scriptura, which we talk about all the time on this show, scripture, Bible. Don Benoit, who leads Midwestern Research, is going to talk about the site serving the church. If you want a good overview of I'm sure he'll give a good overview, as I've talked to him before, of just the problem and how prevalent it is and how far back it goes, you won't want to miss that one. And then, you know, Marcia Montenegro, as you talked about with Richard Rohr, and, you know, this just looks really, really good. And I just want to encourage those who listen or watch this and, you know, follow Servants of Grace. I just want to encourage you to take the time to, you know, it's June 13th through the 17th. And then at the end, they're going to have a Q&A. I'm sure the videos will be available later. So you'll be able to participate in that. And we'll obviously link to all this. But, you know, just wrapping up, where can people go to find out more about you on Instagram if they're not already finding you or your YouTube channel? And if you don't,
absolutely,
if you don't follow Doreen on Instagram or on your YouTube channel, just go ahead and do that.
Thank you, brother. And same with Servants of Grace. So Instagram, it's my name, Doreen Virtue. You can get a hold of me there through instant messages. I am admittedly slow sometimes to reply because it's just me and there's quite a few letters coming in constantly, but I do my best. And if I don't reply, just write again and it pops your letter to the top. Your YouTube channel is called Doreen Virtue 4, F-O-R, Jesus. And Dave's on the channel quite a bit with talking about discernment and, of course, pointing people to the gospel.
Which I love being on your program, too. So thank
you. Yes.
Can you as we wrap up this conversation, as I always say, we've only scratched the surface. We only have scratched the surface on this one. There's more content out there coming. Any hopes for the conference, your talk, and the topic as a whole?
Yeah. I mean, the American gospel, just Brandon Kimber is amazing. His whole ministry is using his skill as a director and editor to share really Ephesians 5:11 to expose false teachings, to expose the darkness, have nothing to do with them. And so his movies, his documentaries, American Gospel, Christ Crucified, and the second one and then the third one coming out about the New Apostolic Reformation. We were so blessed that Brandon agreed to produce this anti-Enneagram conference. And so myself and Jill Lincour, on the same day, we flew to Alistair Begg's church in Cleveland, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. And so Brandon filmed us there. Jill's testimony that she's giving in this conference is amazing. It's so convicting and so from the heart like she is. And it's just going to be such a great conference.
Wonderful. I'm excited to see it. And, no doubt to learn from all of the speakers about this. So thank you so much, sister, for your time today and, for your work and participating in this conference. And, you know, I know, as you say, all glory to God, and that's great. So
yes, amen, all glory to God.
All right, guys, well, thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Equipping and Grace podcast. Until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, @Servants of Grace, on Instagram, @Servants of Grace, or by searching @Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.